This is Science Friday. I'm Ira Flatow. If you're among our more techie listeners, maybe you didn't bother carving a jack-o'-lantern this year. Maybe you printed one out with your 3D printer. You can create all kinds of plasticky stuff with 3D printers. Replacement buckles for your sandals, flower vases, models of a T-Rex skeleton. You can even print out a working camera lens made of clear acrylic. But how about printing out a full camera, fully assembled, made of metal, plastic, and glass? Just as music went from physical to digital delivery, what if you could buy your new camera online and then have it manufactured at your desk? Keep dreaming. We're not quite there yet, but we may be taking baby steps in that direction, because this week, printing giant HP announced its own industrial 3D printer, which they say can print much stronger objects, using multiple materials at once and do it 10 times faster than anything out there today. Is this a game changer? My next guest is here to unpack the new printer for us. Eric Hesseldahl is the enterprise dude at Recode, and he's senior editor there. Welcome to Science Friday, Eric.
Thanks for having me, Ira.
Well, tell us about this HP printer. How is it different than other printers?
Well, first off, when I thought of, and I don't know a great deal about 3D printing, so it was an eye-opener for me, but when I saw the concept device that HP was showing off, it was about the size of, I don't know, you'd think of like a washer-dryer in your house. So definitely going after large commercial applications here. They essentially want to go after large manufacturing use cases. They want to go after not the consumers or the hobbyists or the MakerBot type people that we usually think of with 3D printing.
Mm-hmm. And it can print more than one kind of material at once?
Yes, and that opens up a lot of possibilities. Typically, as I understand it, and I'll just paint really broad brushstrokes here, current 3D printing technologies, you're printing with one material at a time. The jack-o'-lantern example that you just cited, you could print that in a consistent color, consistent feel, and so on. Now, this is all derived from HP's existing print and paper printing operations and their understanding of that. They've been able to adapt it in certain ways that they can, you know, they're really good at mixing multiple kinds of materials. And so they can mix things like coloring and agent, you know, different materials and things like that. And so you can work with different mixtures, and it opens up a lot of possibilities. For instance, you know, you can print multicolored objects. You can print things that are, you know, one portion of it will be rigid, one portion of it will be flexible, things like that. And so they can not only do that, but they can also control the internal properties of the material and make them different from one portion of the object that you're printing to the next. For example, you can print in the same run without having to stop and start again and create a different component. You can, they say, they can print an object that will be electrically conducive in one area and not electrically conducive in another. So the example I've been kind of working with is, you know, you can 3D print a toothbrush, but 3D printing an electric toothbrush is a slightly more complex thing. You have some electrical things going on, you've got some moving parts, and so you can control the conditions inside the object is the way that I kind of understand it. So there's a lot going on here. HP hasn't talked in great detail about the technology yet. There's still a lot more to disclose, but mm-hmm. they are pointing the way in a very, very interesting direction.
Imagine if you could take that a step further and print out a kidney. And is that possible with something like this? You know, you then coat it with stem cells. You print out the grid work of it.
Mm-hmm.
And then you coat it with stem cells to fill in the middle.
I think that there has been some work on this idea, because if you have the right material, you have the right design, and there is no reason that you can't work with, say, stem cell material or something like that. There's no reason that you can't create a 3D object that is, you know, essentially a replacement for living tissue, or mm-hmm. essentially becomes an adaptation of living tissue. So, you know, it's all a matter of, you know, understanding the materials and the properties and being able to reproduce it.
Yeah. HP just debuted another device called Sprout, which ties in with the 3D printer. What is that all about?
Sprout is an interesting personal computer, and basically it takes this notion of 3D scanning now. So this is using a depth scanner, a depth sensor, and basically, you know, a little bit like a desktop scanner that you might be used to, but instead of laying it down on flat glass, you would lay it down on a workspace directly in front of you. It looks kind of like you would think of it like Apple's iMac. You know, it looks a little bit like that at first glance. And then there's this overhead assembly above your head and above the monitor. And so that is a projector and a scanner and a camera, and so what you do is you manipulate objects and you work with photographs. And one of the examples I showed was a mother working with pictures of her baby on the first birthday, and she takes a block for his name and puts the letter L in there, and the baby's name is Liam. And she just sets it there, taps the scanner up above, and an image of that block is instantly added to the photo montage that she's creating. And so she can resize it, she can move it around, she can change it. And so she's making like a memorable, you know, a memento of the baby's first birthday. And the idea here, they're going to market a little bit like it's going to consumers, but it's really going to be aimed at businesses. You know, another example they showed was someone who making custom jewelry, by the way, 3D printed custom jewelry, and able to put a picture of the person and basically, you know, drag an image of a necklace and show you exactly what you're going to look like wearing that necklace. Good way to sell. So there's a lot of interesting, it's the first truly interesting personal computer advance that we've seen in a while that isn't, it's something that other companies can't do. HP is trying to bring a lot of its own intellectual property into play here. It has some unique expertise that other companies simply don't have.
But they're not going to come out with this till what, 2016?
Sprout is available now. You can buy that now. The 2016 part refers back to the multi-jet fusion printing technology. They're working with some customers on that to get them used to how it's working, get them used to the environment and the technology. But it'll be that 3D printer will be available in 2016. But Sprout, you can buy now. It's about $1,800,
$1,900. But would not that give time for a Stratasys or a 3D company or General Electric or somebody else who uses those big printers to come out with some competition?
Oh yeah, absolutely. I mean, this is definitely going to shake up the world of 3D printing a little bit. But I think that we're still in such early days. I mean, you know, Gartner released a report the other day. The actual market for 3D printers right now, you know, for all the attention we pay to it, 200,000 units, maybe, you know, less than a quarter million a year. Now that's going to be doubling. You know, that's next year's figure. So that's double from this year's figure. So, you know, if it continues to double, then we start talking about millions. We're not really in a mass market behavior yet insofar as consumers are involved. But HP's intent really is to sell these things, sell the printers to large industrial companies that will want to, you know, create spare parts for their factories and things like that to keep their factories going. So it's not necessarily going to be used for mass market, you know, consumer products in so much as it's going to be used to maybe coexist with existing manufacturing technologies. That's kind of what I think their intent is here.
There's room for everybody. There is.
There is indeed. There is room for everybody. We are in a very early days of a very interesting marketplace.
Eric, thank you very much for taking time to be with us today. Eric Hesseldahl is the enterprise dude at Recode, senior editor there.